Hi, and welcome to Hypothetically Intentional, where we ask the question, what if we set intentions with everything we did? I'm your co-host, Andrew, back once again.
And I'm your co-host, Michelle, and I'm excited to have you back. Yay, I'm not flying solo this time.
Yeah.
We get to kick off the new year together. The first episode of 2024.
No, the last one was the first episode of 2024.
Oh, it was?
It was.
Yeah, maybe. That's right.
Yeah. Sorry, Mom. You had to kick off the new year alone.
I had to kick off the new year alone. Mwah, mwah. That's all right. I mean, sometimes alone is good.
That's true.
As long as you don't feel alone all the time, right? I think human connection is important, but sometimes alone is good. I'm just saying.
That's true.
So we should set an intention. Would you like me to do that today?
Yeah, if you have one.
My intention is to reconnect with you. And hopefully in this episode, we can inspire and perhaps even get people pondering a little bit in this episode.
Pondering? I love pondering. Do you have any orbs?
Do you? Oh. Orbs.
Yeah, orbs are the best thing to
ponder. Do you ponder with orbs?
Well...
Oh, that's beautiful.
And of course.
Actually, that's called scrying in my magical world.
Oh, I see. Well.
Or it can be. It's one
it's
version
a related,
of it.
Definitely related. Scrying can definitely be pondering. Both.
Yeah.
Both are orb-related activities.
Okay. Well, so I guess we're going orbital. I don't know what we're doing. All right. So on that note, I had an idea about something that we could talk about today, if you're up for it. It kind of plays a little bit on the last episode that I recorded by myself, talking about like how we show up and just encouraging and inviting people to, ask how they want to show up. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this week and talking with you, and I thought it might be fun to consider how we navigate like tasks and specific to Healthy Boundaries Guy often will say, you know, there's chefs and there's bakers and, you know, knowing what someone's strengths are or how they show up in the world can help you work with them. Or, you know, like if you're trying to get a task complete, knowing how they show up in the world can be a really helpful way to help you know how to communicate with them, or even help you if you know yourself, if you're a chef or a baker. And we can go into what that means, but how does that sound? Does that resonate with you at all? Like, do you know if you're a chef or a baker or what I even mean?
Well, I listened to that episode, so of course I know what you mean. Because this came up in a previous episode, Healthy Boundary Guys, the difference between chefs and bakers. And I think we should go through it again anyway. But that's a good topic. Where do you want to start?
Do you want to talk about like how you interpreted the difference between a chef and a baker?
Yeah. So my understanding was chefs are people who cook meals, and bakers are people who bake things. No.
Okay.
But this was a metaphor, of course, because if you've ever cooked and baked, if you've done both of those things, you probably know that they are quite different from one another. Cooking is, you generally speaking are supposed to do a bit more improvising when you cook. You don't necessarily have to follow a recipe exactly. You can fiddle with things. And I think understanding the principles behind cooking is more important. Whereas baking, following the recipe to a T, is generally more important in my understanding. I should preface this by saying I don't consider myself a particularly strong cook or baker.
Chef or baker?
Yeah, my understanding of the underlying metaphor may not be very great. But basically the idea is if cooks are people who go into life a bit more willing to improvise and chefs are people who go into life a bit more with a specific...
You're interchanging words. That's going to get confusing.
Wait. Yeah.
Chefs bakers. And bakers. Get cooks out chefs of your brain.
Chefs and bakers, not cooks. Cooks don't exist. There's never been a cook.
Well, they exist, I'm sure.
No. No, they don't. Not okay. Not in this metaphorical
not
world.
In this podcast. Yeah. Not in this metaphorical yeah, this, world. We, not in this orb.
Not in this orb.
Right.
Bakers will follow a recipe. They will do things more according to what they're supposed to do, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
And I think it's fair to say that both chefs and bakers probably need to know a bit about like the process and the foundations of what they're doing, because baking can be really precise, and knowing why certain things work together or don't or create a certain thing. And to be fair, I'm not like a professional baker or chef in that. So I'm just going with like my understanding of the metaphor. And as long as we're on the same page, it'll work, right? Mm-hmm. But I think of, yes, chefs as people who can, you know, intuitively know, or even just through their wisdom, their lived experience, know which flavors go together. And they don't necessarily need a recipe to get started or to follow their to create something that will work. And bakers tend to like a recipe and like, you know, some organization and some things to follow. Now, that being said, chefs can also like organization. So this can get messy really fast as far as, but to me, the distinguishing difference is bakers definitely like a recipe and some structure around like, tell me what to do step by step. At least that's how like Dan breaks it down when he's using this example, you know? And then chefs are like, yeah, give me a kitchen with all my supplies and I'm going to play. And I feel like I'm a person who, if you give me the structure to start with, then I will move into play mode. But if I don't have that structure to start with, I freeze and I don't know where to start or what to do. So I do not start as a chef, but I can emerge from a baker into a chef as long as I start at a baker. And I think knowing that is really important for me, because I do find that I get overwhelmed really quickly if I don't have any sort of structure. And other people are like, yeah, the structure messes me up because it's out of order of the way I would do it. And I just want to be able to, like, I have this capability already, and I don't need all that structure to get me going. So knowing how people, you know, like how their brain works or how they function in the world or what like resonates and works, makes it flow the easiest for them, can be really helpful. And that can be true in conversation. That can be true in tasks. That can be true in, you know, friendships, activities, all that kind of stuff. And it doesn't have to be as simple as chef or baker, but to really observe and pay attention to how you show up in the world. And then when you get really, when you actually have some idea of what that looks like for you, it's easier to then observe other people and find like where their strengths are and, you know, how you might engage and interact together in a way that feels more flow, less grind, I guess is how I would put that. Like more at ease, with more ease versus obstacles. Maybe that's a better way to put that.
Okay. So
what do you think?
So you're saying like understanding whether someone is a chef or a baker, and understanding whether you're a chef or a baker, can help you in your relationships with those people, like make it easier? Is that what you're saying when you say like the flow?
Yeah, I'm saying it can make it, and maybe easier isn't the way to put it, but it feels like the way to put it. It can help you understand how you can best work together, I guess. If you're talking about a project, like if I'm working on a project and I know that this project for me needs organization and I'm going to call someone in to help me with this organization, I'm probably going to phone a baker before I'm going to phone a chef. But when it comes time to play and be creative, excuse me, I might lean more towards, you know, or even just within myself, lean more towards the chef side of me than the baker side of me. And I don't super love like the boxes that we're using these as. It just gives us a framework to start as to, I mean, really what I'm saying, we can like negate the baker and the chef thing and just get into how often do you observe what's comfortable for people or how they navigate the world, because we're all so different in how we show up, and yet there's also underlying similarities. And I find that if I pay more attention, not only to how I show up, but to how others show up. I guess one thing I've found is I tend to look for people's strengths and then see what strengths they have that are my weaknesses, right? And then how we can like amplify, I'm thinking specifically about projects or getting things done or like creating something. I find it really helpful because I didn't used to show up in that way. I didn't used to even take notice of how someone else might do it. I would just dive right in my way without consideration of what the rest of the team might desire, require. Couldn't find the other word I was looking for, but desire or require might just work.
Mm. Yeah, I think like I'm connecting this to like I'm studying teaching to become a teacher. One thing that as a teacher is important to do is to understand your students and mm-hmm. how they learn. And there are definitely students who you need to give more direct, like step-by-step instructions first. And then from there, right, because what we want, there are many things you have to teach as like, I'm a math teacher. So as a math teacher, or I'm studying to be a math teacher, there are many things we want to teach. But as an example, for two of them, often what we want to do is teach students a particular method, and then we want to teach them an underlying, like the reason, the conceptual understanding of that method. So take, for example, like the idea of completing the square in algebra. We want to teach them how to do it, but we also want to teach them why it works. One thing that I've noticed is that for some students, they learn better if you teach them the method, how to do it first. And then from there, they can look at the patterns and they can see, they have an example in their mind and they can develop that conceptual understanding of why it works after the fact. And for other students, you have to start with that conceptual understanding. And then from there, they can sort of they can apply it to a specific situation, and then you can teach them the method. And to me, it's like the first year student is a baker and the second student is a chef. Because, you know, the instruction as a teacher looks a lot more like, here's the steps, do it like this, like this, like this, like this, and then have fun exploring, figuring out why. And for the second student, you don't need as much structure right away because they'll figure it out once they know the underlying sort of the underlying method.
Yeah, I think that's cool just to observe that in people, like how we can best serve people, how we can best relate with people, how we can engage with each other in a kind and loving way that has compassion, that shows that we're truly actively listening and observing, and it feels more engaged, like we're truly wanting to get to know people. That feels beautiful to me. And the other beautiful thing that I'm realizing as we talk about chefs and bakers is while they're, you know, different in how they structure or their process, maybe is a better way to put that, there's a lot of similarities within there too, in that, like, you know, I don't know, it feels like as humans we're complex in nature and also we're not so different. So even though we use two different methods to get to the same result, there's similarities within that, but the journey might be completely different.
Yeah. Well, to jump back just a sec, you mentioned like being able to connect with people by understanding like whether they're a chef or a baker. And like one thing I've noticed in the classroom is like a lot of, you know, sometimes a student might start to disengage from the lesson, and like, you know, if you're helping them, you know, maybe you're one-on-one trying to teach them, and it isn't going anywhere, and you can tell like you're not connecting with that student, but either in a personal sense or in a like educational sense. It's really tempting to think, oh, this student is being really disrespectful. They don't care. They're not listening. They're not trying hard enough, whatever. And a lot of teachers will think that. And a lot of people will think that. And it's a very, like, that makes sense because that's can be what it appears like. But it changes so quickly as soon as you're like, let me try teaching you another way. Like if you do that, if you adapt how you teach to a new way, even if it doesn't work any better, students 9 times out of 10 become a lot more willing to try out. They're like, oh, you're changing something to try to help me more. I wasn't getting it, and you saw that. So I'm now a lot more willing to change how I'm, to give you some slack. Like human connections are a two-way street, and I think we all recognize that on an innate level. Like, even I'm at a middle school right now, and even middle schoolers, like, if they see that you are throwing them a bone, that you're trying something, that you're changing to adapt to how they think, or trying to, even if you're failing, they'll be a lot more willing to connect with you.
Yeah, and I think that there's a couple of things you've said in when you're talking about teaching and how to connect with students, and ultimately how to connect with people. One is, you mentioned patterns a while back, like noticing patterns, and you were talking about math, but in a way, the chef and the baker thing, that's a way to also connect with people, to truly see them, is to see their patterns and, you know, connect the dots of what that might mean. And I think, you know, the other thing you alluded to, or maybe even just flat out said, is that humans at an innate level really want to be seen. And it's a little bit funny for me to say that because, you know, growing up, I was like, no, I don't want to be seen. Don't look at me. I don't want to be the center of attention. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say we want to be seen. We want to be like seen at like a, where we feel understood level, not in the spotlight level, but where we understand that someone has the kindness, the compassion, and the patience to actually witness us as we are. And then to maybe it's assist us, maybe it's have us assist them, right? Like it's, and we go from there. But if we're not both observing, and if we're not both showing up in a way where we're seeing, or at least attempting to see accurately, because we all have our own, you know, filters and movies and versions that we see things based on our experiences. But it's such a beautiful thing when we can pause, like take that pause and ask ourselves, like, if something isn't going quite right, or if something feels a little harder than it has to be, if we can ask ourselves, like, how can we show up in a way that might support this in a new and different way? And I think for such a long time, you know, I just didn't know how to see anything else. I was too busy protecting my heart or protecting, you know, myself, in keeping myself in a place where I thought I had to be in order to be received. So I wasn't allowing my real self to be seen. So that would make it harder for other people to receive me, because I was hiding who I really was or what I really needed, you know? And I feel like that's how I showed up for such a long time. And it took some undoing and some work for me to be able to not only witness myself, but then also reveal myself. And then that made it, I don't know if easier is necessarily true, but it made me have a skill set that then I could also view others, you know, in a new and different way, to really, like, my goal is to see like the you of you, not to see like whatever you're willing to reveal, right? Like the you that you would like to show. And then, yeah, support people in being okay with being seen, which can feel really vulnerable if you're not used to doing that. And I think that was my experience for such a long time. Like even in school, I didn't necessarily want my teachers to see me or help me. I was going to figure it out in a hidden, I was going to find somebody I felt comfortable with to learn what I needed to learn, versus, you know, unless it was a teacher that actually took the time to say, oh, hey, I see you struggling, like, and didn't, you know, make me feel less than on some level because I didn't get it the way they were teaching it. Because I think, like you said, to your point, sometimes as a teacher, we can take it personally. It can feel disrespectful if someone isn't understanding the way we're teaching it. And then a good teacher will shift and try something new and see if they can unravel something for them to teach it in a new and different way, to meet a baker as a baker and a chef as a chef, so to speak. Mm. Anyway, I don't know. It seems like such a silly, simple thing to talk about chefs and bakers. But, you know, the real point is, you know, are you witnessing yourself accurately? Are you putting in effort to witness others accurately? And how much patience, compassion, kindness do you have for yourself and others?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining us today. We are on social media now with Hypothetically Intentional. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, and then all the other pages you can find us on in the bottom of the show description here. And we appreciate you joining us this week and every week. If there's anything that you would like us to discuss, we are happy to take suggestions. So reach out to us anytime. I think we're going to get a little more active on our social media this year. Now that it's opened up and ready to go, we might have to post some pictures. How do you feel about that, Andrew? Can we post some pictures?
Sure. Pictures of what?
Us. And the things of we us? Talk about. Maybe chefs and bakers. I don't know.
Sure.
Or maybe, sure. maybe leading questions to invite people to help us explore what's most helpful for them. Whether it's inspiring, empowering, or anywhere in between. That's a wrap for today. Bye. Be you every day.
Bye.